Welcome to Author Express. Thanks for checking us out. This is the podcast where you give us 15 minutes of your time and we give you a chance to hear the voice behind the pages and get to know some of your favorite writers in a new light. I'm one of your hosts, Christy Leonard, owner and host of Writers in the Wild Retreats, nonfiction voiceover artist, and president of WFWA. I'm excited to share with you a little about today's guest. Today's guest is Rosa Kwan Easton, a former attorney turned novelist whose powerful book, White Mulberry, is inspired by her grandmother's life in the 1930s Korea and Japan. Born in Seoul and raised in Los Angeles, Rosa brings heart, history, and a fierce sense of purpose to her storytelling. She's passionate about shining a light on overlooked voices and the quiet strength of women across generations. White Mulberry is her love letter to the past and a compelling reminder of the resilience that still echoes today. Welcome.
Thank you, Christy. It's my honor to be here today.
Oh my goodness. It's so great to have you. I just am thrilled after meeting you, I think last October, maybe September in Alexandria, Virginia. So excited to have read your book. What a beautiful story. Such a beautiful story. We're going to get to it, but we always start with the same question, and I'm putting you on the spot. Because you have some really, really interesting places that you can choose from. Like when we say, tell us about where you're from, It could be where you originated. It could be where you are now. It could be where you went to college. So what do you think? What's the most interesting place?
When you ask where I'm from, I automatically think of many places, as you mentioned. And it's hard for me to determine that. And that's part of what's in my novel as well, as being sort of torn between two worlds. And am I American? Am I Korean? I was born in Seoul, but I lived in Los Angeles since I was 7. And my whole life, I sort of shifted and wavered between being American and being Korean. And am I Korean enough? Am I American enough? So I guess I'm from multiple places. And I think one of the messages of my book is to celebrate our multiple identities.
Definitely. Absolutely true. Well, why don't we get to know you a little bit? What is a tradition or family ritual from your childhood that still lives in you today? I bet there were nods of it in your book.
Well, I don't remember this one very well because I was 1 when it was celebrated for me. But I remember extending that tradition when we moved to the U.S. with my own children. And in Korea, when you're 1, it's a celebration because you've made it. You know, you've survived the first year of life. And there's all sorts of things presented in front of you, like yarn and money and coins and noodles and food. And the child is supposed to pick something that grabs their curiosity, and that's supposed to determine who they're going to be in life.
That's crazy.
The babies are crying, you know, why I have to do this? But then when they calm down, they pick something, and I picked a pencil.
You're kidding. No, really?
It's true.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I guess it does represent, and my children, I think they may have chosen like a pen. One may have chosen yarn, which is supposed to represent long life.
Ooh.
So it's very symbolic. And that's why there's a symbolism of the tree in my novel. There's a lot of metaphors and proverbs and life lessons that I have in my culture that I hope I shared in my novel as well.
Oh, that is so cool. I love that. I don't think I've had an answer that's nearly as interesting as that one ever so far. Well, let's get to the fun stuff. Let's talk about your book. We like to challenge our authors by asking them, how would you summarize your book in one sentence?
You mentioned that this is inspired by my grandmother's life. And it's the story of a woman coming of age in 1930s, Japan-occupied Korea. And she is torn between two worlds because she's passing as Japanese, as a Korean woman. And she has to reclaim her true self in order to protect herself and her family. when circumstances arise and that decision has to be made.
I think that having read the book, you did pretty good.
It's hard to summarize in one sentence.
Well, especially a historical novel. I think that's a real challenge.
Yes, it is. It is. The essential elements of identity, love, resilience, capturing all of that in a book is not easy. And, you know, frankly, when I was writing this book, I didn't realize I was writing women's fiction. I was just writing a story that was true to me and true to what I thought was the life of my character. So when my agent pitched it and when my publisher, Lake Union, bought it, they said, this is a wonderful women's fiction. And then, of course, I joined Women's Fiction Writers Association. I was surrounded by women who have written in this genre. And I was just elated that I could share this space with such other talented
writers. Absolutely. You know,
shining a light on women's journeys and their personal struggles.
Yeah. Well, your book actually explores identity in such a layered way. So how did you think about her transformation as she adapted to her life in Japan? Like, it's so fascinating to me.
Yes. Well, it was shaped
based on your grandmother, right?
Yes. Yes. And it's shaped by my interviews with her. I had an opportunity to interview her before she passed away at 95, the ripe old age of 95. And she actually moved to the U.S. as well. We moved. So, you know, not only did she navigate that world, the occupation, World War II, the Korean War, she immigrated to the States when she was 60. And I'm 60 this year or last year just published my debut novel at 60. So there are a lot of parallels. And I also spent my junior year abroad in college in Kyoto. And I didn't realize I had this whole extended family that lived in Japan. So I had a chance to ask them about their life, how their immigration experience differed from my own. So I was able to gather a lot of information in order to inform the scenes and the layering, I think, that you talked about in my
book.
So it came from a lot of places.
Right. Well, identity is definitely the center of this whole thing, which I think, even for me, a white cis woman, got me thinking about identity. It was so moving and just lovely. Such a beautiful book.
Oh, I appreciate that, Christy. And that's, I think, the beauty of books is you don't know how it's going to impact others. And you hope you're telling a universal story, but you don't know. And you don't know how it's going to impact the reader. And that leads me to, I think, one of your other questions you're going to ask, but I'll let you ask it.
Oh, yeah. That comes a little bit later.
Okay. I'll save it for later then.
Save it for later. So what was it about your grandmother's story? Was it just something that, like a story that people were always telling? Was it something you heard from your parents or your grandmother herself? Like, what was it that sparked the idea to turn this into a novel for you?
No, and in fact, it was the opposite. It was secret. It was never really talked about. And I just thought it was so fascinating. I found her nursing and midwife certificates dated 1938, 1939, and they were written in Japanese, but had a Korean name, surname on it. And I thought, wow, here's this, like my grandmother, you know, this old person, my grandmother, who was a nurse in another life, and was also a midwife, and she passed this exam in Japan, and Japanese is not her first language. I know she was born outside Pyongyang. So how did she do this? She is so strong. I needed a role model in my life.
But when did you start questioning? How old were you when you started questioning and learning?
Well, her story, I really learned when I was in college.
Okay.
And that's when my sort of awakening happened, because I think before I went to college, I was really trying to embrace the American side of me and trying to fit in and belong. And I think when we reach a certain age and we go off to college, we question who we are.
100%.
So this has been a 40-year self-discovery process.
Wow.
But a really gratifying one.
Well, it's gratifying for the reader. I'll just say that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
what surprised you the most in like the process of turning family history into fiction? Like, it's one thing to have like a family story that, you know, you find interesting, but to then take that and mold it into a story. I mean, I know as a writer, just taking any idea and molding it into a story is really difficult, but there must be things that you want to keep as close to historical, but then, and then there's traditional research. You got to learn all about that time period and then mining your family for details.
Yeah. The most surprising part was how far back I had to go in her life to really understand who she was. Because I was going to start at the inciting incident, which I thought was like the most exciting thing that happened. And that ended up being the climax of my novel.
Wow.
So I was peeling back the layers and wondering, like, gosh, what was she like as a child? What made her make the decisions that she made? And what was her wound? You know, what was her childhood like? Because we're so, you know, are shaped by our childhood experiences. And she didn't really talk about that part. So I think my grandmother, so I was really free in that space to imagine what her life must have been like, knowing the family structure. There was a lot of loss before the ripe age of 11.
Wow.
When it begins. And the other surprise is that my mother, who's not fluent in English, she had a difficult relationship with her mother-in-law, who is Miyoung, my grandmother in the story, just as mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws have usually. But after she listened to my book, she realized that she can listen to my book on Audible, and I turned it to 70% speed for her. She listened to it and she said, she had a newfound understanding of my grandmother that she never had, because she never looked beyond the time, you know, after she got married to my dad. And that was a difficult time. So she didn't really understand her childhood and what it could have been. And I helped her understand that more with my book. So I was grateful for that.
That's amazing. That is so amazing.
Yeah.
So has the rest of the family read the book, and what was their reaction?
Yeah, my father was very helpful. He sat in my interviews with my grandmother, because my Korean is limited, having come at 7. So he helped fill in some of the gaps. And at first, he was very much a stickler on like all the facts, you know, like, this is not quite right, you know, and this is the older brother, not the younger brother. And I kept having to explain to him that this is that I have to help move the story forward. And this is the most credible way and explains, you know, there's cause and effect of decisions that are made. And then when I asked him recently, I said, you know, that incident that happened in 47, was that 47 or 48? And he said to me, who cares? It's fiction.
It's so awesome.
So my family members have been involved and, you know, in different ways, but they're very supportive. And I'm glad that I turned it into fiction, because I felt like I was able to tell the story in the way that I wanted to tell it. And I could bring my experiences into the story that were true to me, that I thought could be true to her as well. So I think I made the right choice, although it took me 10 years to actually finish writing it.
It's okay. We have it in our hot little fists. It doesn't matter how long it took to get there. It's perfect the way it is. Where is the best place for folks to find you? I spent a lot of time on your website, so I'm going to guess you want them to be on your website.
Yes, my website would be great. It has all the information about my newsletter, my social media, my journey, my sequel that's coming up.
That's exciting. When's that coming out?
Well, I have a deadline.
Okay.
September 1st for my first draft due to my editors. And then it's supposed to come out in fall of next year, 2026. So,
wow, that's fast. That's great.
It's going to be 10 years to write this one and 10 months to write the next one.
Be careful what happens when you're successful. All right. So the last question, what book or story inspires you the most?
Oh, well, this was such a fun question for me, because it was so easy. A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith was the inspiration for my title, and White Mulberry, a tree and a strong female protagonist who's coming of age in the same period of time in the early 20th century in two very different places, but had such similar experiences. So I think the coming of age years are universal in terms of emotion and growth. And so that book was my inspiration.
There you go. I love it. That's perfect. And definitely look for the cover of her book because it's gorgeous.
Yes, I love it.
Gorgeous. All right. Well, Rosa Kwan Easton, thank you so much for being with me today. And I definitely recommend this book.
Christy, thank you so much for this honor. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you take a second to give us stars or a review on your favorite podcasting platform. And we'll be here again next Wednesday. Follow us on Instagram at Author Express Podcast to see who's coming up next. Don't forget, keep it express, but keep it interesting.